Well, happy Wednesday, everyone. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and this is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I hope you're doing well tonight. I have a very, very special guest. My friend Jacqueline Garlick has been writing steampunk. She writes young adult, new adult romance, and she's just finished writing a new book called TikTok Plot, about speed writing plot. She's a really interesting woman. But let me tell you what she says about herself so you don't think it's on me blowing smoke. She is the author of young adult, new adult books, as I said. She is also loves strong heroines, despises whiny sidekicks, and adores a good story about a triumphant underdog. And who doesn't? Let's face it. She has an ongoing love-hate relationship with chocolate, grammar, and technology. I understand that. She prefers creating things to cleaning things and loves cinnamon tea. You know, she and I are on the same page with a lot of that. I am so happy to welcome to my show again my dear friend Jackie Garlick. Jackie, welcome back to Authors on the Air.
Hey, how are you, Pam?
I am
so excited to be here.
I'm so glad you're back. You've been doing so many things since we last spoke.
Oh, yeah. I've just been going crazy. I've been just having a great time with writing and all kinds of things, exploring all kinds of things, learning new things, writing lots of things. Yeah, really busy.
I love it. You know, every time I speak to you, you keep honing your craft. You always are going back to classes to tighten up your craft. I think it's an amazing thing because you don't just always have it down. There's always something new to learn, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. I think the last time we spoke, I was at Hood River with the
yes.
Breakout Novel Intensive with
yes.
Don Moss and the gang. And I think that was the third time I attended that week-long conference. And, I mean, he's the Cadillac if you're going to learn from anybody about craft and about plotting and about drawing the most out of character. Don Moss is top-notch, along with Lauren Oberweger, who runs Free Expressions, and she puts on the seminars. She is an incredible editor, and I've worked extensively with them, like, you know, studied under Don and worked extensively with Lauren, and they've helped me become, a thousand times better the writer than I would have been. It's an investment, you know, like it's an
sure.
investment in your craft, but I think it's time well spent, and it's applied to everything, and it's like soaked into me. And then I started to play around with an idea myself and how to plot a little faster and a little, you know, easier, a little clearer, because the teachers give you, you know, they're very thick and deep information. And then I was like, okay, I just want to formulate something that's easier for me to grasp from everything I've learned, and to grasp it quickly and apply it and you know, create a system. And so I did that, and then I was at a couple events, and I kind of taught it to people there. And they were all like, why don't you write this down? Like, what are you doing? Like, you need to get this out here. So I just recently wrote TikTok Plot, and that is all that compilation of learning and my really quick and dirty system of plotting, which now, like I said, say in the book, I can plot an entire story in – 2 or 3 days, 4 days, be pretty confident with it and be writing immediately. And I know where I'm going. You know, it makes a big difference to know where you're going.
Well, so let me ask you this. I know your background is as a teacher, and so you have a lifelong love of learning. When you look at the first book you wrote versus the most recent book you wrote, do you notice a big difference?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. And you know what's so funny that you'd bring that up? Because I am literally going over right now the very first book that I wrote in the Nevada Mentor Program years ago, like whatever it was, 7, 8 years ago now. And it was a good book. It had potential. It has great premise. I went out to Nevada to the conference before I was chosen for the mentor program. And with the first opening chapter of this book, I ended up reading in a circle, very nervous, you know, one of the first things I ever attended. And a top editor from Penguin was there, and she was listening to the group, and she loved it so much. I'll never forget it. She walked me back through the woods to the cabin to eat, and she asked if I'd walk with her. And she gave me her card and said, when this is done, I absolutely want to see it. And I almost fell over. It was like my second conference, and there was just something about this book. Everybody loved it. It was funny. People in the group were laughing. She completely offered this to me. We've been great friends ever since. And the sad thing was, when I did complete it, I just didn't have enough knowledge yet as a writer to completely pull it off. And she passed on it, so as many other editors also passed on it. And, you know, they don't have the time anymore to work
right.
with authors. They used to
right.
take you under their wing and say, there's great potential here, we'll hone it together. They don't do that anymore. So it was kind of like, go away, little bird, fly, go learn the lessons and come back, right?
Right, right,
and
yeah.
That's exactly what I did. That book, though, did end up landing me a top agent, YA agent, so I credit that. You know, every book has a use, right?
Sure.
That one got me an agent.
Well, sure.
So, and I'm reworking it now, and it's so comical to rework it this many years later and this much knowledge later. I'm looking at it, and I just said to a friend, a good friend of mine, Elise Arden, who's also an amazing author. We've met in the last year, and we do a lot of things together. She's great. And so anyway, I said to her the other day, it's so funny to read these words because every once in a while I'll be like, gosh, that was golden. That's really good writing. And then I would follow the next paragraph and be like, this is garbage. This is really
That's
bad.
Fine.
I need to
oh,
redo
God.
This. So there's gems
well,
there, you know, there's gems.
Sure. Well, you know, they say failure is a great teacher and to move on. So not that it was a failed thing, but at least you learn something from each thing and carry it on. When you stop learning, you know, you're dead. What's the point if you
right.
stop learning?
And like I said, that book had its purpose in that it got me through the door. It lit the fire. I mean, it literally was the second conference I went to. I went to a Florida conference, met Ellen Hopkins, who happened to be running the YA track. I had one page with me, read it. It was a disaster. I was destroyed. And Ellen came to me and said, in some exercises we were doing, she looked over my shoulder and she's like, see, the potential is here. This is your potential. And then she invited me from those to blind, you do a blind entry into the Nevada Mentor Program. And you're mentored by a famous traditional author for 1 year and through an entire book, which is, you know, gold. And so
yeah.
she said,
you
know,
you can't buy
try
that.
Out
yeah.
for this. Yeah, you can't buy that, and it's great. And so I thought, well, I'm going to give it a try. So I had this idea for this book, and it was, you know, really in its infancy. And I had to finish it really quick because you have to hand in a full novel to try out for this. And I ended up getting chosen. So that book got me chosen for that opportunity. It got me the interest of that major editor at Penguin on my second conference and a note to, you know, a personal card, here, submit to me, please. And it also landed me an agent. So even though in the long run it wasn't picked and didn't get published in the traditional form, it did all that other work for me. And it, you know, was a stepping stone in my learning process. And then I went on and learned with the next book and learned with the next book. And now I can apply the knowledge I have back to it, and I'm going to release it. So it's a super fun. It's got a super fun title, too, which I'm totally going to keep.
I love that. This is really cool. All right. So I want to talk first. We've talked a little bit about the YANA series, but you know what I first glommed onto you is because of steampunk. You know, I'm such a huge steampunk fan. And so I wanted to kind of go back and talk about noir and Lumiere. How did you get interested in writing steampunk?
You know what? That's really weird. I think I was at a Toronto. I live in Canada, so, and I don't live in Toronto. I'm quite a ways from Toronto. So right. I hopped down there to a writer's gig one time, and I do that once in a while, and hang out with some people down there. And a young girl was talking, young girl, she's probably 30, but she's so sweet and lovely. I'm going to call her young. But anyway, she was chatting about having submitted to my favorite editor, the one I was just talking about, a really cool steampunk idea, and she was hoping for the best at the time. And I was like, what is this? And so people were talking about it, and I've always loved the Victorian era. Like, my house is filled with antiques from that time frame and, you know, paintings from that time frame. I'm a nut for that time frame. So
wow.
I was like, wow, this is cool. And then add to it machinery. You know, my dad was a tool and die maker, and he owned a
wow.
very big shop. So we grew up around grease and machines and running a lathe and whatever. And so I was like, I don't know if I could pull this off. And then I thought to myself, of course I can. Like, it's like being at dad's shop again. Of course I can. And my dad was quite the – he had an inventive mind. Like, he was quite the little inventor. On the weekends, we were always – concocting things that we were going to build someday. We never built
right,
them, but
right.
we used to draw them on the old blueprint paper.
Yes,
and we'd
yes.
spend our weekends. And one of the inventions that Dad and I, when I was a very little girl, that we came up with, which Dad was way ahead of his time, was parallel parking wheels. And so we drew that out on a Saturday. I really wish I still had that blueprint. I don't know what happened to them. But anyway, I put that in Lumiere. I create, you know, Ehrlich creates that in Lumiere.
Right.
In an honor to my dad, who's not here anymore. But so yeah. I had that kind of mind from Dad. Like, we were always thinking of gadgets and gizmos. And it was a chance to explode that all over the pages of a book in the Victorian era. So I was like, or like a faux one anyway. I kind of like took it and dystopianed it out. But yeah, I just loved it. I love the magicalness of it. I love the contraptions. I love my characters because they're super flawed, but they're super lovable. Yeah, I the experience has just been so much fun. So,
I
and then
love
of course,
them too.
You know, Amazon picked it up too.
Well, I always, always, always love everything graphic that you do. I love your website. I love your Facebook page. I love your Twitter page. I love your website is so exquisite. For those of you who have not gone, you've got to go to JacquelineGarlick.com. Oh, my God, her page is so beautiful. And the cover designs for the steampunk, well, you call it fantasy science fiction, but it is the Illumination Paradox series, Lumiere and Noir, are just exquisite. Who does your covers for these?
That's a really cool story. That was a labor of love. It came about, I had the vision for the covers, and mm-hmm. so I wanted to make them happen, but at the time I didn't know enough about creating covers. So I was like poking around trying to find, you know, stock photos or whatever. And I was like, this is not working. So anyway, a good friend of mine happens to be a television and movie producer here in Canada. She's also a great writer. And I actually had a bad experience. I hired a designer and it all went south. And it just wasn't a good fit, and it wasn't working out. And time was running out because I'd put up a pre-order, like I had a plan for, you know, advertising. And
right.
I was walking with this friend, and she said, I said, oh, I'll just get a stock photo and do it. And she said, no, you got to make the vision happen. So she made a few phone calls, ended up with a friend who shoots for the movies, and he didn't mind to do a creative project with me. And so then I called another author friend. Well, he had a young daughter, asked if I could borrow her daughter. The daughter agreed. I ordered a dress from Etsy from another artist, and then I added some ruffles and stuff like that. And took it and put it on the girl. And it was hilarious because I was like, how will I ever find the necklace? And so I was Googling on Etsy, you know, green glowing vial necklace. Uh-huh. And up came that necklace. And I was like,
you're kidding
this
me.
Is, I'm not. It was amazing. It was like one of those weird doo-doo-doo-doo moments because it's like another artist way on the other side of the world is channeling the same thought as me. And I was meant to find it, right? So she shipped it to me quickly. And then my son had just graduated animation school. And so he came to the shoot, and all my friends were at the shoot. And then we, my son did some of the, like, the glow and stuff. And then I finished it off with the very talented Regina at May I Design, who does top-notch work. And I was glad I connected with her, and she just put the most beautiful finish on the gorgeous photo and all the stuff.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then for Noir, we did it again, and I held a contest in my own hometown for Ehrlich. And a young boy from our high school, Northern, came out, well, a few of them came out for the interview, and he was perfect. He walked in. He was so tall. I think the kid is 6'5". Like, he's so tall, and his hands are so long, and he had this longish hair and this clumsy, lovely, sweet, adorable personality, and I was like, this is Ehrlich.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And the third cover is coming out really soon, and it's going to be a big surprise. So I won't say too much about it, but we did the shoot for that, too. So it'll all match. And Regina is actually right now finishing it up. Like, I just talked to her before the show. So very cool.
And what are you can we get a name of book number three, or are you prepared to release that yet? What are we calling the third
book? Book three is Soleil. Which, of course, is my first son.
Yes.
And if you know the series, they don't have any son.
Right.
So we'll have to see what happens, right?
I can't wait. Well, which brings me to
I'm excited.
The teen contemporary romance thrillers, the If series, the If Only series, those jackets are equally beautiful. And you know something, Jackie? I often have conversations with debut authors or somebody who wants to be a debut author and put together a book, and I try to explain to them how important covers are, because we're in a world where you have millions of choices on a thumbnail choice on Amazon, you know, and never mind in a bookstore, but particularly if you're lucky enough to get in a bookstore, covers are so important. The old expression that you can't judge a book by its cover may not be necessarily true, but if the cover is really not well thought out or poorly designed, I think that tells me something about the inside of the book. Maybe I'm wrong, but I will tell you that if I have a crappy cover and a good-looking cover, and both stories interest me, I'm going after the book that has the pretty cover. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I go into, which is equivalent to Barnes & Noble's in the States, is Chapters here in Canada.
Right.
And I literally have purchased books that I don't even flip over and look to see what they're about because I'm in love with the cover.
Yeah.
And I'm not proud to admit that. But I literally did it just a little while ago with this adorable book, which I'll just plug because it's adorable. It's called Love, Fortunes, and Other Disasters by Kimberly. I'm going to ruin her last name, but Carlius?
Okay. Okay.
And the cover was so darn adorable. I had to pick it up. And I remember I looked, and the very first line got me, and it's basically that love stumbles into town with a sprained ankle, and she's annoyed. And I was like, okay, I'm in. I've got to see what
there
love is going to do. Yeah.
That's great.
So, I mean, it's a combo, right? It's like the cover leads you to opening to the look-see on Amazon.
Yes.
And
your
first lines capture people or they don't.
Yes.
And that's so critical, right? Like, sadly, like you said, there's a million choices, right, in the world these days, with, and especially on Amazon with all the books. And you really need to snag, you know, the attention of readers. And you do it twofold, with a lovely visual, and then you got to back it up with some, you know, meat behind the bones in your writing.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And I work with a lovely girl who is called Summer Stein, who is doing those covers. And again, I had a vision for them, and Summer was on the track with me and pull it around, and together we work on them. And I think Summer probably hates me because I'm not a client that just says okay to the first vent, you know, first offering.
Sure.
I always
sure.
am like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and I'm very particular that
but
things
that's like
just
painting,
have to be.
You know,
so
decorating your bedroom, and you can't say, oh, okay, well, here's a bucket of paint. I'm just going to throw it up there and be satisfied. I mean, your book jackets are very personal, and they are part of your product. So
yeah,
you
need
your,
to think brand. You need to think
yeah.
brand when you're making them. Make sure they fit with that. And you also need to think, I think of it as a public handshake. It is my first handshake to every reader who comes to Amazon. And I stick out my hand, in other words, my cover, and say, hey, I'd like to connect with you. I'd like to meet you. Do you want to meet me? And if they're not, awesome.
Brilliant. It's a brilliant concept.
You know.
I have to tell you, you know, a lot of books come across my desk. I mean, let's face it, I hear from a lot of publishers and a lot of publicists and a lot of authors. So I get anywhere from 25 to 50 books a week. And I am a voracious reader, there is no doubt. I mean, I've not made any secret of it. I read sometimes 2 books a day. So when I have a choice of books and I look at covers, I will admit, I look at covers, and that means a lot to me, particularly when I'm reading new authors, whether they're traditionally published or independently published, because I've seen some stinkers that are traditionally published too, let's face it. But I'm generally going to go with something that pleases my eye versus something that doesn't please my eye. So
right.
I
have a theory.
Important.
They need to tell. You need to tell a story in your cover, a mini tiny story in your cover, and they also have to visually draw you in. There should be a point in which your eye enters the photo, slips all the way through the photo, connects with all the information on it, and slides out. There's always it's like a good painting has an entry point for the eye and an exit point.
Yes.
And you linger around in the middle away a bit, and it should bring you joy. It should
yes.
interest you. And
yes.
so I'm really particular about fonts. In particular, you know, going from soft to more traditional or harder ones,
yes.
With loops and turns in order to keep the eye moving. There's a whole art to it, and
yes, there is.
I've just always been very creative, and I do art as well. I've always drawn, painted, and sculpted, so I can't be satisfied with just, you know, the run-of-the-mill thing. Now, saying that, there's a lot of authors out there who don't have that skill, so they need to rely on a good, you know, an artist, a cover artist for that help. And the two that I mentioned are awesome. And, you know, that's important, you know, to find somebody who is talented, who, you know, you can look them up. They have awards for those people as well. Look for an award winner, connect with them, pay the price, you know, put the best label on your product. That would
sure.
be my advice.
Sure. You can get, you know, let's face it, you can get, I mean, you can get a hairbrush in Kmart, or you can get a hairbrush in Macy's, but the one in Kmart's going to not be wrapped real pretty, but the one in Macy's probably is. It's still a hairbrush, but, you know, you want to think you're getting a better one. If you're sending a gift, wouldn't you rather have it wrapped in Macy's paper than in Kmart paper, or, you know, or something
absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely. You know,
it's
definitely, yeah. And, you know, you got to pay the price, too, which is difficult when you're starting out. But in the long run, I have gotten so much attention from the Lumiere and Noir covers. It was a crazy situation doing that shoot and all the people involved and all the, you know, whatever that went into it. But I have gotten so much attention from them. And so, and I wanted to mention this too. I'm topping it off with, so this Soleil is going to be the final book in the series. So to celebrate, I have a really, really cool trailer coming. I didn't think I'd ever get involved in this, but I met some people at an event, and their trailers were just magnificent, like mini movies. And I had so many comments that Lumiere and Noir, people could visualize them like a movie. They thought they should be on the screen. And I was always like, yeah, you know, I wish they were. And so it was my opportunity to make a mini movie with Ehrlich and Islet. And I jumped. And so that gentleman's putting the finishing touches on that right now. And it's going to be my big kickoff when I release the book at the end of the summer. So you heard it here first, the end of the summer.
I'm loving this. I am very excited about our next subject. But first, I want to open up the phone lines. The number to call and speak to Jackie is 347-633-9609. I am going to gift someone the book of their choice from Jackie Garlick, the ebook of their choice. First person who calls, 347-633-9609. My most favorite thing that I've been waiting to talk to you about, Mender's Society. Tell me about it. I'm so excited,
you know what?
About this.
Yeah, okay, another cover to die for. I love that cover
it
so
is.
Much.
It is.
I love
is.
That cover. Yeah, and again, I had a thought and a vision, and I was like so lucky that I work with artists that can pull it together for me. And yeah, I'm excited about that book. I have been working on that book for a while. I'm going to admit it. People are going to be like, oh, we've been hearing about this book, and this book isn't materializing. But I've been doing – I decided this is the year that I need to get things done because I've got – I'm one of these writers that has a lot of ideas. I'm never without ideas. And I'll start a book or I'll write an entire first draft like I did with Heartmenders, and then I'll get railroaded one way or another. Well, no, what happened there was I actually sold Lumiere and Noir to Amazon, so I was suddenly thrown into that world and working with editors and getting that ready. So I had to put Heartmenders aside. And so now I'm going back to it, and as I was saying, I'm doing this write a book a month challenge. So meaning I'm either finishing the last draft of a book that's been waiting and getting it finished, or I'm writing one from scratch, first draft, and of course I'll be going back over it. But every single month this year, I plan to finish one, whichever case. And Heartmenders is my book for June. So I am like getting ready for that. Oh, actually, sorry. It is my May book. What am I talking about?
Well,
so it is on tap.
Okay. So you have this one available July 2016. But then, you know, we have another one. We have a contemporary mother-daughter coming-of-age story that's available in May, Confessions of a Raging Queen, Bitch Queen, which I cannot wait to hear about this because you're doing so many things and you branched out in so many ways. And just for the record, I am posting Jackie's book covers on my Facebook page. So go there and take a peek at it. You guys know where to find me at 4PamStack. I'll also put them on the Authors on the Air page, and you can go and look at them as well on Jackie's Facebook page. But, oh, my God, another great book jacket, another great story. Tell me about it.
That is the one I was talking about. That was my very first book that didn't get picked up. So I am rewriting that one now as a mature author. And going to get it out there. So that was my very first book, The Confessions of a Raging Bitch Queen. So it's a very dear story about a mom and a daughter who just fall apart at 13, when the daughter turns 13. And they just don't see eye to eye anymore. They used to be very close, and neither one can understand what's going on. Daughter's pulling away because she's growing up, obviously. Mother's desperate to have a little girl back because, you know, who's this imposter? Where's the one that used to crawl on my knee and kiss me all the time, you know?
Right.
This one's prickly. I don't know what to do with this one, you know? And so it's told in, like, vignettes of their life from 13 to 18. And these little car crashes, I call them, that they keep running into, not physical car crashes, but, like, emotional car crashes. And I tell it from the point of view of the mother and of the daughter, so two points of view. And then also the story is told within their heads. So as a reader, you hear them what they say out loud, and then you hear them what they think. And you know as a reader, well, geez, if she'd just say that out loud, it'd all be solved. But they don't, of course. And so it's a real look at relationships in that very turbulent time and how, you know, they thread through and eventually come to some kind of, you know, a semblance of agreement, or hopefully they do.
I'm so excited that you have all these different things going on, because your writing is so exceptional, and now we're getting to – here's what I love about you, Jackie, is that you're not afraid to go and say, I have an idea for a story, so I'm going to write it, and you're not paying attention to someone pigeonholing you into a genre. And I often wonder how, you know, I see some mid-list writers and I think, boy, you know, they could really go in another direction because they've got the writing chops, but they're kind of, you know, settled where they are. They're not trying anything different. Yet it never fails to amaze me. Every time I talk to you, you have something new on the burner, and not even the back burner. It's on the burner itself percolating. So you've got the steampunk, which is the historical science fiction, essentially. You've got your YANA romance series, your IF series. You've got the Heartmender series, and you've got the standalone that you've got. Plus, you do videos. You have blogs. You really have immersed yourself in all things creative. You're a painter. You're a sculptor. Those things are really, really important, and I'm so impressed with all the things you do. What a glowing testimonial to your life, to, you know, taking up that creative aspect of what you're doing and really just, you know, having an imagination and saying, I'm going to go and try this. I think that's incredible. It really
right.
is.
Well, it's always preached to you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's preached to you by a lot of agents and editors. Don't like that approach because they like to brand you and they like to, you know, put you into a box and say, this is what this author does. And now as a mature writer, I see that. I can see the sense
right.
behind that, because I know, you know, yourself, when you go and you find an author and you love a book, right, by them,
right.
you're going to look for that next book and expect, you have this like semi-expectation they're going to write that again. Like, for example, if they write a thriller and it's amazing, like The Girl on the Train was, and you
sure.
go back to that author, you're like, oh, another thriller, awesome, awesome. And if they suddenly do like a contemporary romance, you're like, what?
Yeah.
Well, that's not what.
No,
I didn't want to go there. So it might be dangerous, but I'm doing a little bit of both worlds. Like, I'm a hybrid. So I'm selling books
yes,
traditionally, but I'm also doing my own thing. And that's really freed me up, because I'll tell you, when I was kind of being put into a box, that's when I slammed against a wall and I had trouble writing. And then
yes.
suddenly I went, like Heartmenders is basically an adult romance. Somewhere along the line of, like, I like to say it's a contemporary Notebook. You know, and I just wanted to write it. And I was like, well, how is that going to fit with my fantasy sci-fi? And, like, what am I doing? But then it was like, I don't care, because on self-pub, I can offer whatever I want. I do have a lot of romances in me that I want to tell. So I'm going to tell them. And I have more sci-fi, and I'm going to write that too. And I love YA, and I'll always write that, you know?
But you know what, Jackie? Essentially, I mean, you are – a storyteller, heavy on romance, just in different styles of just,
yeah,
just
you're right. Everything
writing genres.
Back to that.
It all comes back to the story about love somehow in each one of these books, whether it's a mother daughter love. Heartmender's is women's fiction, and that's about love. Even your If series is really about love. I mean, that's what it's about. And so,
yeah, it's definitely Kyla.
Yeah.
Kyla's love tries to save Denver through the whole book for sure. She believes
right.
that, you know, yeah. And
exactly.
Heartmender's is an interesting look at a girl who can't seem to get her own life together. She's crashing and burning, and she ends up having to take a part-time job where she becomes the counselor of a group of six men who are under 30 who've recently lost their wives tragically. So they're young widows, and the boss says, it's your job to help them get their lives back on track, these broken men. Go. And the girl is like, what? Like, I don't even know what to do in my life. Like, how am I going to fix their broken lives, you know?
Right,
and,
right.
You know, complicate everything. They're young, gorgeous, sad men. And she
right.
has to find a way. You know, so the whole story is basically she is the heart mender. And, you know, she goes on a journey to fix them, to help them, you know, find joy in life again, and doesn't realize how much of life she hasn't been living. And so they teach her a lesson as well. So, you know, that's the essence
sure.
of that book. So you're right.
But
they all revolve around love.
And that's a good thing because, you know, even in some of the darkest thrillers, there is some connection at one time or the other to love, whether it's an obsessive love, whether it's a love of job. So I can understand, but I don't know. I love your writing style, and I'm really glad that you've not, you know, you're taking romance and plugging it into these different genres, and I think that's very interesting, rather than taking different stories and plugging it into one genre. So
exactly.
Like,
it's always about
yes.
the story first, and
yes.
although love is a big component of it, there's a bigger story going
story.
On. There should,
exactly.
to me, if I can accomplish three layers, I'm super excited. Like in Lumiere, there's the layer of the story of this world and what's happening to it. And then
right.
there's the story of this girl and her quest to correct herself and, you know, get her father's, you know, a legendary machine. And then
sure.
there's the layer of the true love story that comes out of it as well. And if you can get those three components rocking, then that's like an epic story. Like, you feel really good when you can do that. And that's my goal with everything, even if it's on a more minor scale. You know, and within telling, I could have just told a love story about this girl who meets a widow, but I decided it was much more interesting to talk about this girl's entire position within the world and how she's not functioning and her discovery of why. And also a romantic element to it, right?
Sure.
You know, it's
a
different kind of
thing.
Layers.
It's a very layered thing that's going on. And I like that.
Right.
And I think that's what gives books their richness, what keeps readers turning pages. And you know, I've always enjoyed your books. You know that I've read your young adult stuff too, so you know I love your books anyway. But I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm so glad that you've taken so much time. I know you're jamming busy, and I'm so proud of you. You and I have a show to do together as soon as our author is ready to come on, Jandy Nelson. We're crossing our fingers that we're going to get her because you are my promised, probably the host, and I'll be the guest host. I'll just be the co-host there, but we're going to do that.
Yeah, that's super awesome. If that can happen, I would love that.
Yeah.
Jandy's like,
well, I'm going to work.
Talk
with...
about writing a layered book.
Yes,
Jandy's
yes.
the queen. She is awesome.
Absolutely.
She...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that'll be a lot of fun. We'll do that together. And then we have lots of other things going on, so that's fun. I thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I
oh,
always
it's my
love
pleasure.
Talking to you. I just love talking to you all the time. So you're going to come back. I know that without a doubt. And we'll be talking again soon. I know that we have Jandy on our agenda. Who else would you like to talk to?
Oh, my goodness. Let me see.
There's
so many people.
Okay. So there's
Lainey
one.
Taylor. Oh, Lainey Taylor.
Okay.
Love Lainey Taylor's
right.
work.
Okay.
That's just one right off the top of my head. There's so many. I'm grasping for names.
Well, you,
like
we have
Libba
plenty
Bray
of
would be awesome, and
just call me and tell me this is who I want to have on the show. And so we'll work that out. I want to go back. I'm going to circle back around to where we started, and that is to all the classes that you've been taking, the craft, the learning craft, the fact that you are a teacher, the fact that you immerse yourself in this. You speak now at conferences, and you speak in workshops and all. Somebody comes to you and says, I have an idea. What if? So what do you tell them?
Like if they come to me with a book idea and they're pondering that?
Here's my what if story. What do I do next? How do I tell the story? What's the best piece of writing advice you're going to give them?
Well, I always want to make sure, I would say to people to make sure that if they have an idea, to make sure it's a competitive idea, because the world, the book world is like a big traffic jam, right? There's just so many offerings out there. And you need to make sure that your idea has enough legs to get noticed, to be special enough to be out there. Now saying that, you just got to learn how to make your idea special. You know, like if you think hard enough about an idea, the first thought you have will be the most mediocre thought. You think on it harder, you'll have 2, 3, 4, up to 10 ideas. The 8, 9, and 10 are going to be the ones that are golden. So I see a lot of people that say, well, I have this great idea and I want to write about, you know, this girl that's, you know, lost her husband in the war and she's seeking love and she doesn't, you know, have an opportunity for love and, you know, she's just withdrawn into herself and then this guy comes to town and then, you know, things heat up. That in itself is not quite enough. It's been done a whole bunch of times.
It's the trope. It's the trope.
It's a trope, but it's not an idea, it's a trope. And so then it's your job that, okay, so that's awesome. I always say to people, that's awesome, because you know what you want to write, which is a lot of other people don't know. Like sometimes you need a familiar trope in order to attract readers. You do. They want familiarity, but they want something different in that familiar situation.
So
now the task is, how do you make this story about this, you know, woman who's lost her husband as a war vet and she finds new love? How do you make yours particularly moving, unique, unusual? And that can, you know, that can come sometimes out of the writing. It can come out of voice, uniqueness of voice, or, you know, but as long as they think about it and layer it. And I always say, read good quality stuff, read everything, because you will begin to see what moves you, what stands the little hairs up on the back of your neck when you're reading and you go, ooh.
Yes.
So then look at those pages. What was that magic? Where was the moment that happened? Was it a line? Was it a character's movement? Was it because of the character? Did she twist a situation that you were like, wow? And then emulate that. You know, this is the idea. I take it as, you know, when I started, it was almost like a competition in my head. And I think it's still that way. It's like, I see your ace and I'm going to up you, you know, like
sure.
I want to do even better than that. Like, I get really excited when I read good material, and I literally call up my friends, and I'm sure I annoy them, or I Skype them, and I'm like, listen to this. And I read them passages, you know, like they can't read. And I'm so excited about these passages, and then I'm like, I want to do that even better. Like,
better.
I want
yes.
a golden
I
idea,
understand.
You know. And so I would push people to do that, because I think there's a lot of self-pub authors out there that really love to write and really love their craft. And they're putting out ideas, and then they're quite disappointed if they're not getting the audience that they thought they were going to get, because maybe they haven't really mined that golden thought yet. And they've
yes.
given the trope, and they've given a great story, and they can write. They just, you know, it's an it factor, right? It's like Simon Cowell on that show, you know?
Yeah. The
where's the it factor?
Polish is not there, yeah. The polish is not quite there yet. So thank you for such good advice. I don't think I've ever heard it put so succinctly, but I do believe, I agree with everything you say. There has to, yes, you have to stand out a little bit. You can take the trope, but polish it up, make it good, and make it yours. Those are the standout books. Jackie Garlick, I just adore you. Tell everybody where we can find you on social media.
Well, I'm on Twitter, of course, and I'm on Facebook, and you can find me there. I'm also on Instagram, and I'm on Pinterest. I'm just about everywhere. And, of course, JacquelineGarlick.com, my website. I'm so thrilled that you like my website, because I made that website, and it took me a long time.
I was
going
to ask you who your web designer is, and I'm thinking, God, I want something like that for the network. You know, I really like that website a lot.
Yeah,
so I was
going to
email you
me.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was it was hard.
You got talent coming out of your things, honey, all your orifices. So congratulations. It is a stunningly beautiful website. Thank you for being with me. I can't wait to have you back. And we'll do something together, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. I'm so excited. I love talking to you too, Pam. This is always an awesome, awesome time.
Thank you so much. Okay, everybody, on Friday, you know who's coming back. Russell Blake is back with me on Friday. We're going to have a good time. I have no idea in the world, as usual, what we're going to talk about. He'll rant and rave about something, and I'll just be trying to be interested. But, you know, I'll open up the phone lines right away. We'll have a good time. They'll probably be cussing a lot of Keela and, you know, probably people passing out in the aisles. But that's okay. That's Russell Blake on Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you for listening, everybody. Jackie Garlick, I love you. Thank you for being with me.
Oh, thanks, Pam. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks so much.
Talk to you again. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
And thank you, Mom and Dad. Have a nice evening. Bye.